It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support for All Things Northwest comes from Family Eye Clinic in Maryville. Dr. Drew Garwood offers patients eye exams, diagnosis, and treatment of eye injuries, as well as glasses and contact lenses. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest. It's a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and the developments throughout our region. And please know there's so much to celebrate. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXEV, KRNW, hope you are enjoying the beautiful snow, the pleasant winter weather. I am pleased to welcome you to the February edition of our show. We'll provide two segments this month. In segment one, we feature Rebecca Flaherty of the Area Agency on Aging. In segment two, we feature Dr. Subila Kangas. She's an associate professor here at Northwest Missouri State University and coordinator of the Recreation and Gerontology Program. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Becky Flaherty of the Area Agency on Aging to All Things Northwest. The Northwest Missouri Area Agency on Aging has been in existence since 1973, serving the seniors of the Northwest 18 counties of the state. Becky joined the agency 9 years later in 1982 as a field auditor, monitoring the agency's contracts and auditing the contractor's records. By 1992, she became the comptroller for the agency and remained in that position until 2004 when she was promoted to deputy director. In 2007, the board of directors hired her as the executive director, and she has watched the changing face of aging for over 33 years, and in the meantime has aged in place herself. Becky, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and for our listeners' sake, can you talk about the mission of the Area Agency on Aging and what you do kind of holistically?
Sure. I've been told Area Agencies on Aging are the best-kept secret, so we'll try to change that a little bit now. We have been around since 1973. We actually, in 72, were mandated by a piece of legislation called the Older Americans Act. The Older Americans Act was part of Johnson's Great Society legislation back in 65. But in 72, they decided they really needed organizations that were local, the boots on the ground kind of organizations. So Area Agencies on Aging were established. Our mission really is to be that local entity that looks at local needs and local resources and local culture versus top-down management. The idea was that every AAA would be very flexible. They would have, although they have the parameters of the Older Americans Act, they also have an awful lot of flexibility to be able to design programs and services and educational needs around the local communities that they serve. In our case, we have the Northwest 18 counties of Missouri, so we serve almost 10,000 square miles.
And Becky, as you talk about the AAA Area Agency on Aging, you serve older Americans. What does that mean?
Well, that's not quite as easy. There are many, many definitions. There are legal definitions of older adult. There are social definitions. There are cultural definitions. The Older Americans Act actually identifies 60 as an older adult. But in reality, as we look at our aging population, they say 60 is the new 40. And that's more often true than not. The seniors that we served when I came in 1982 are very, very different from the elder adults we serve now. I actually am one of those. And as I think about myself and my generation and that baby boom that's coming at us, 60 and older is a very diverse population. They are as diverse as the regular population, actually. And we're not about to be put in a box. So for us, aging may mean, it may mean travel and leisure, but it also may mean starting a new business or going back to school, learning something new, doing a volunteer mission that we've never been able to do before. So older adult is very much a moving target these days.
Okay, and so you're serving the older adults, and as you've been around, you've kind of seen this change over the years. What are some of the bigger challenges that seniors are facing today?
Seniors actually face many of the same challenges that every other part of the population does. It's their options that tend to be different. And today's seniors, although the challenges are very much the same for them as the rest of the population, they tend to have fewer options. In our role as MAAA, we assess community needs and develop and fund programs that respond to those needs. Although the northwest portion of Missouri is unique in some ways, we tend to find similar problems. They just need different solutions to the rest of the state or the country or even population groups. If I had to list the top five, I think I would say economic insecurity, food insecurity, health issues and fears, abuse, and lack of supports and information. Economic insecurity, most seniors, even well-to-do seniors or seniors who have planned, are only one incident away from a major life-changing event, whether that be economic, health-wise, housing, spouse. 33% of the older population rely on Social Security for 90% of their income. As far as food insecurity, there are many causes behind that. There may be economic issues, for sure. But there also may be mobility issues. There may be physical limitations and other forms of access that affect that. As to their health issues and fears, a recent survey that we did was very interesting in that a loss of health to a senior meant loss of independence. It was one and the same for them. Access to health care is a great fear, especially in these rural areas. Whether that's because they're afraid all the doctors and nurses will move to the city, or whether it's their own ability to access that as they age, being able to drive in the city or get to all the specialists that they need to go and see. And the third would probably be affording that health care, because although we have Medicare, not everybody has full coverage, supplemental coverage. Some don't even have Medicare Part B because they don't feel like they can afford it. Abuse, as we see on the news every day, financial abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse is on the rise with our senior citizens. As we try to deal with that, it seems to morph every single day. These people find new ways, innovative ways to take advantage of others. And our elder population, especially the extreme elderly, are their primary target. And as far as lack of supports and information, what we're seeing is a lack of family. We're a very mobile society now. So in the past, where families took care of each other, and I know my grandmother lived with us for a while, we don't see that anymore. Their families may live three or four states away and call for help. Lack of services, especially in the rural areas. We're seeing some of these farms get bigger and bigger, but as they do that, the seniors that live on those farm places or home places are becoming more and more isolated, and it's very difficult to get services out there to them, whether they can afford to pay for them or not. The other thing we're seeing is a real change and lack of community support and awareness. Communities are not what they used to be.
So, Becky, talk about those five areas you just mentioned. Listeners, we're talking to Becky Flaherty here on All Things Northwest on KXEV, Maryville, Karen, W. Chillicothe. Becky is director of the Area Agency on Aging. And, Becky, economic insecurity, food insecurity, health issues and fears, abuse, lack of support, family, community, and so on. How does the AAA help address these issues specifically?
Well, the Area Agency is very multifaceted in that we serve all age groups or anybody over 60, and we serve all income levels. So we're always looking at what are the actual needs out there regardless of those issues. What are the resources that are there, and how do we connect them, not only the organizations that provide them, but the people who need them? How do we connect those dots? So we're a major resource for that. We also can come in and do things like options counseling, long-term care counseling, helping them to come up with a plan. If they want to age in place, does that mean this house? Does it mean this town? What is it you need to think about as you move forward? Even at our age, my husband and I are doing that now. We're looking at, we own a lot of property that needs mowing. And as his allergies get worse, how long do we really want to do that? So we help older adults sit down and realistically think and plan out what it is they want to do as they age in place. We also work with caregivers a lot, whether those are family caregivers, informal caregivers primarily, but also paid caregivers, to help them find innovative ways to stretch what resources are there, whether they're the clients, whether they're public, whether they're private. And lastly, area agencies work a lot with communities, especially in the last 10 years. Our focus, along with Washington, has been focusing in on what can communities do to make sure that their seniors can age in place. How do we help them look at the continuum to make those elders just as viable and important a part of that community as the families with children?
So being proactive, helping seniors plan and so on is part of the role. 18 counties based out of Albany, offices I think in Cameron and St. Joseph, obviously. Becky, can you describe for our listeners what are some of the conditions that older Americans face?
Well, a lot of our clients and people that we serve, regardless of their economic situation, tend to have health issues as we age. In fact, of the people who receive most of our in-home type services, homemaker, personal care, respite care, even transportation services, about 33% of them report eight chronic conditions or more. About 53% of them report six or more. So as we age and as we look at the needs of these seniors, they definitely do evolve around long-term chronic conditions, whether that's diabetes, blood pressure issues, heart conditions, and so on. We think of the baby boomers as this healthy generation, and in many ways we are. But in other ways, we are paying the price of our youth as well. So these chronic conditions are catching up, and they do definitely impact their ability to remain independent and safely in their own homes.
As the executive director of AAA, Area Agency on Aging, you've seen these changes over the years. What are some of your biggest challenges that you face as an agency?
Well, we have several. Of course, the silver tsunami that has become so popular with the press is one of the biggest. It is a huge, huge population shift, however. In my area right now, there are approximately 59,000 60-year-olds and above.
This is across the 18 counties?
In the 18 counties.
Okay.
In the next 15 years, that's going to grow to about 78,000. In addition to that, over that same time period, as my generation ages into that older adult population, that 45 to 64-year-old caregiver population is disappearing. It's declining because they're aging out and the ones coming up are not as numerous. In addition, of course, funding, decades and decades of not only inadequate funding, but declining funding. You know, we have burgeoning numbers and needs and services and declining funds. And I think lastly is that lack of community support and involvement. There's been a significant change just in the 30-some years I've been involved in the involvement communities have with their older adults. There's been a significant decline in volunteerism. There's been a significant devaluing of our older adults in our communities. We have a tendency, and I hear all the time, that they don't use the word, but they insinuate they're a burden. on society, that they cost too much money, that, you know, what are we going to do with them as they age? There's just too many of them. And so what we see is after a wave of publicity about the huge numbers of baby boomers retiring, they just bury their head in the sand and hope it'll go away.
So, Becky, as you talk about, you know, waning community support, let's talk about communities, the 18 communities within our region, even places like Northwest Missouri State University. What can the communities, educational institutions, other organizations, what can we do to help?
And I think that's a very important question because realistically, with the numbers of people coming into this age group, government programs, government-funded, publicly funded services are never going to be adequate. It is going to have to go back to that grassroots community support of these people and for them to stay an active part of that community. I think the first thing that communities need to think about is they need to be aware and they need to educate themselves. The area agency and our network of providers, contractors, and partners have a wealth of information and resources to share, in addition to a nearly inexhaustible internet network that we have out there. Get involved, individually and collectively. Groups, organizations, businesses, and individuals, all of them can volunteer. Develop projects and events to meet a need or to improve lives. Become an advocate. Adopt a senior. Get to know your neighbors again. Step outside your cultural norm. And I would say the third thing is to consider seniors and engage them when doing community planning. Develop those age-friendly communities.
And, you know, that's just excellent food for thought. And as we think about the second segment of All Things Northwest, we'll be talking to Dr. Sue Milikangas from Northwest Missouri State University. And with our excellent programs here, a lot of what you just said, obviously, are some things that the Northwests of the world can provide. You just mentioned, Becky, age-friendly communities. I think about bike-friendly communities and so on. What's an age-friendly community?
Well, an age-friendly community is one that tends to look at the continuum. They look at their population from birth to death, and they put equal value on the entire continuum. They consider older adults, as I said before, a very vital part of their community. They understand that although they have needs to age successfully in the community, they also have a lot to offer in knowledge, in wisdom, and in resources, both material and otherwise. Age-friendly communities strive for livability for all age groups, and they involve all age groups in aspects of planning, from infrastructure to events to activities, services, housing, even education, traditional and non-traditional.
So much to think about, and obviously some of the statistics that you provide that the population growth with regard to those moving into the senior category is pretty specific, pretty prolific here in the next 20 years or so. So obviously the services of AAA, Area Agency on Aging, will stay in place, will stay in demand. What do you hope for here in the next 5, 10, 15 years for the AAAs of the world?
What I would really like to see the Area Agencies on Aging do is folks, and we are across this nation, there are over 600 of us, all of us serve our own communities in ways that meet the needs there. But as a provider in a rural area, primarily a rural area, other than Buchanan County, most of our areas would be considered rural. And in those rural areas, what I hope to see is that the area agency would become known as that go-to resource when any community, large or small, any group, university, wants to actually pursue some of this, that they would come to us and say, how do we go about it? Because we have a lot of partners, both locally and nationally, that we can bring resources to the table and help the communities work toward an age where maybe the community does look out for one another more and more. AARP had done a survey recently, and they had said that 89% of people 50 and older want to stay in their own homes for as long as possible. Therefore, developing livable communities for all ages has to include our eldest population, and we have to look beyond health care and Social Security and explore things like housing and economic development, community support systems, and civic engagement. If we can become that go-to resource, that we can start helping support that undergirding instead of being the one that just takes over and provides a service, because that's never going to be affordable anymore, I would feel like that we have done everything we can in our mission to make that possible for our older adults.
Well, Becky Flaherty, Executive Director of the Area Agency on Aging, it's pretty obvious to us that you are a go-to person, a go-to agency, and on behalf of our counties and our communities, we thank you so much for doing what you do, for fulfilling your mission, and certainly for joining us here on All Things Northwest.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. When we return to All Things Northwest, we'll visit with Northwest Missouri State University's Dr. Sue Milikangas. She's an associate professor and coordinator of the Recreation and Gerontology programs. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCV Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Family Eye Clinic in Maryville. Dr. Drew Garwood offers patients eye exams, diagnosis, and treatment of eye injuries, as well as glasses and contact lenses. More information is available online at familyeyeclinic.net or at 660-582-5222.
Welcome back to the February edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. We'll now visit with Dr. Sue Milikangas. Before choosing to become a university professor, Dr. Sue, as she is known here, she worked as a certified therapeutic recreation specialist in city, municipal, college, and long-term care agencies. Dr. Sue earned her bachelor's degree in Recreation Administration Management from the University of Southern Colorado and her Master of Arts degree in Gerontology Management Administration from the University of Northern Colorado. She also received her Ph.D. in Leisure Behavior with minors in Family Studies and Gerontology from Indiana University. Dr. Sue is currently an associate professor here at Northwest Missouri State University. She also serves as the coordinator of the Recreation and Gerontology programs. She teaches therapeutic recreation, parks and recreation management, and gerontology courses. She recently earned a dementia education train-the-trainer certificate, and she is focused on advocating for the holistic health benefits of leisure for older adults and their caregivers. Dr. Sue, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
So you coordinate the Parks and Rec programs. You coordinate gerontology academic programs here at Northwest. Talk about these programs and what it is that they offer and what you do.
Well, let me start with Parks and Recreation. Northwest Missouri State offers a Parks and Recreation Management degree that is basically broken into three different tracks that students can study. One of those tracks is Parks and Recreation Management, which can be community center, leadership, management, things like that. The other We've got kids that do park rangers and go out and work for state and national parks under that degree too. Aquatic centers, things like that, it all falls under Parks and Recreation. We've recently had students that have gone out and gotten jobs in zoos because people forget that zoos are zoological parks. So our Parks and Recreation Management degree is really popular. We also have Corporate Recreation and Wellness, which is a lot of people think that it's just like personal training, which it can be. But Corporate Recreation and Wellness are businesses hiring a specialist in health and wellness, which are our students, to come in and help employees stay healthy. They found out that it's less expensive to hire a corporate recreation wellness specialist to come and help their employees stay healthy than it is to pay the high rising costs for the insurance for their employees. So our students learn to do things like help people with their diet and nutrition, help people with their exercise routines, but they also do things like smoking cessation, diabetes, management, ergonomics, so setting up your desk to make sure you're not getting carpal tunnel, things like that. So corporate recreation and wellness, and then the last one is therapeutic recreation, which is where I teach the majority of my classes. And this is using recreation as a rehabilitation or a habilitation tool for people with disabilities or injuries. And so basically with therapeutic recreation, it's like hiding the therapy and fun. So we do similar things to what physical therapy, occupational therapy does. As a matter of fact, we partner a lot with physical therapists and occupational therapists. But we try to get you, if you're working on range of motion, you need to lift your right arm over your head. We're going to play a game having you do that instead of just having you lift your arm over your head 10 times. So I teach a lot of classes in there in therapeutic recreation. We currently have approximately 180 majors in our Parks and Recreation degree, and we have a 99% placement rate.
Well, and there's no doubt that, Northwest focusing on student success, every student, every day. You talk about the number of majors and placement rate, getting students out, obviously, to further education, get them out to the job world, et cetera. Very, very important. And it's really in part because we talk about profession-based experiences, field-based experiences, et cetera. Also, I want you to mention gerontology a little bit, maybe describe that program.
Gerontology has been a minor at Northwest Missouri State for a while. I recently had it transferred over into me being the coordinator after Dr. Shipley retired here on campus. And gerontology is the study of the psychosocial parts of aging. So it's things like retirement, it's your social networks, your housing, things like that. It's not so much why your hair turns gray, although the students learn about that. It's more of the psychosocial aspects. We are an interdisciplinary minor along with our colleagues over in behavioral health sciences. We are seeing a huge transition right now. 10,000 people turn 65 years old every day, and that's going to continue to happen until 2030. So you figure that our country is becoming a very older country. We've never been an old country before. And with this number of people aging, just like we weren't ready for, we didn't have enough schools when the boomers became, the kids came, now we don't have enough elder resources and care resources. So gerontology is trying to help change some of the stigmas and stereotypes that younger college students have, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, when you say, come work with 65-year-olds and older, they're like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. It relates to comfort and competency. If they're not comfortable around older adults and if they don't trust their skills that they have with older adults, then they're not going to choose that. So the gerontology minor, all of the classes and the things that we're doing is to try to help students get comfortable around older adults and open that up as an option.
And so you think about Parks and Rec, gerontology, therapeutic rec. Obviously, it'd be one thing just to keep students in the classroom and teach about the theories and the concepts, but knowing you and what the programs do, you obviously partner, and I know you can talk about many, many partners, but you partner and place students out in work sites, et cetera. Kind of talk about aspects such as, or organizations such as Oak Point here in Maryville and how you might partner with a group like that.
Yeah, we partner with quite a few area agencies around Northwest Missouri in a whole. Oak Point happened on a fluke. The sign went up out on Country Club that said they were going to build a new assisted living, and there became a trailer where they based out of for the construction. And I made a beeline for that trailer and wanted to talk to whoever I could to try to see if there would be possible to have a partnership with them. Kim Floria is the director over there of Oak Point. She was amazing. She was open to the idea of partnering with us. I explained the fact that our therapeutic recreation students needed to have locations where they could do internships, and it had to meet certain criteria. There was no one at that time in Northwest Missouri that our students could have an internship with because we didn't have the qualifications. So upon sitting down with Kim and doing some financial juggling to figure out how the corporation could do this, Kim agreed to go ahead and employ a therapeutic recreation specialist. So they were the first ones in our area to actually open that door to us, especially to the elder side of things. So our students now have a place where they can go complete internship, field experiences and internships.
Well, we'll talk about field experiences in just a moment. Listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest here on KXCV, Maryville Care, and W. Chillicothe. I'm your host, John Jasinski, talking with Northwest Missouri State University's own Dr. Sue Melikangas. One thing, Dr. Sue, that I didn't talk about in your introduction, and the listeners should know about, is that you've been recognized as a Governor's Award for Excellence in Education nominee and recipients. So what's that mean? Dr. Sue is one of the few faculty members who've been recognized statewide for her excellence. Dr. Sue, one of the things that you just mentioned, and I think that is very standard in what you do, is field-based experiences. You take students, for example, out to Colorado. Maybe talk about that a little bit as it ties into the curricular kinds of constructs that you provide.
Yeah, students today are a little bit different than we used to be, where we sat in the classroom all the time and listened to information. They need to experience.
Although the lore out there is that still happens, but it really doesn't, especially at a place like Northwest.
No. Hands-on experience is the best experience that these kids can get in order to apply the information. So it's challenged teachers and instructors to change the way that we teach, and for us to know the information and provide opportunities for the students to have context so that they can learn that information hands-on. And so the class I teach to Colorado, this will be our 10th anniversary going out there. It's totally geared around the core concepts that students learn in the Parks and Recreation degree. I also have been doing things here. I teach a class, Therapeutic Recreation Interventions with the Elderly. Last year was the first time we taught it hands-on, and this will be our second year. We actually have started next week with Parkdale Nursing Home here in town. The whole class will be taught at Parkdale. The students will interact with the elders hands-on, provide therapeutic interventions. It helps the elders, it helps the students learn, and it helps provide me opportunities to teach the information I need. So it's a win-win-win situation for everyone. Oak Point and everything that Oak Point has done for us, they hired one of our therapeutic rec graduates as a certified therapeutic rec specialist over there who has just taken and made things amazing. All of her efforts to integrate therapy, not just activities, but actually therapy with the residents, recently won Oak Point the Spirit of Innovation Award.
That's Mary Tapps. You bet.
Yep, Mary Tapps. They won the Spirit of Innovation Award for having creative, community-based, and therapeutic programs at their centers. And what Mary has done over there for us is allowed us to have opportunities for students to break down those stigmas and stereotypes they have of elders and actually go practice the profession that they wish to go into, which is therapeutic recreation.
But you also work with, for example, SSM Home Care and Hospice, mm-hmm. Nottoway County Senior Center, Nottoway Nursing Home, Village Care, the list goes, Merrill, Home Reliance Group, the list goes on and on. So what are some of the kinds of things that happen there?
Yeah. I've been attempting to try to make sure that our students have every opportunity possible to do just what Becky said, which is there's been a decrease in volunteering. Our students need experience. They have the ability to volunteer and gain that experience that can then go on their resume. They just need to be able to get hooked into where they can help. So I've been coordinating opportunities through things like SSM, Nottoway County Senior Center. Our kids have gone to Nottoway County Senior Center and actually run programs for the seniors down there. So we did a line dancing program. We've done exercise programs. We've done nutrition programs. It gives the students valuable experience, but it also provides services for the elders at the same time.
And you referenced Becky Flaherty, on segment one of this program, talked about the Area Agency on Aging. And Dr. Sue, as you and I heard, you know, obviously the numbers are increasing of seniors. Maybe that lack of volunteerism, lack of community support, but also something that you've mentioned here, and I've heard you talk about it elsewhere. One of the first things you do is just get students or others to just feel comfortable and understand mm-hmm. what seniors are all about, what they're going through, et cetera. Right. Talk about how you do that.
Right. Well, let's just go back to therapeutic interventions class. The students are assigned to write journals of all of their time when we go over there. The students have just, this semester, have just completed their first journal, which is, how do you feel about the fact that I'm going to take you over there and what's going to happen? And it's really interesting. They're not so scared of the seniors as they are scared of the fact that the seniors are not going to approve of them. So there's a difference in perception. What's so fun is that the seniors that are out there at Parkdale, and part of the reason we go there, is a lot of them are retired teachers. So they allow the students to fail, which is great. I basically have 40 more teachers when I go to Parkdale. So once the students start integrating and talking to the seniors and they get more comfortable, what I saw last year in their journals just made me totally believe in the fact of teaching hands-on like that, because we have kids that decided they never, ever wanted to work with older adults, and when we finished 9 weeks at Parkdale, that was the number one population they wanted to work with after they felt comfortable, and they realized that their fears, they had nothing to be afraid of, and they actually really liked the seniors.
And so as we think about that transition in a very quick amount of time, 9 weeks in that example, why is that important? Why do we need more students to understand the therapeutic rec and parks and rec and gerontology programs are so very important?
Well, people wonder why in the world I'm doing recreation and gerontology at the same time, but therapeutic recreation, there's two groups of people that therapeutic rec specialists work with the most. Number one is anybody to deal with anything to do with aging, because as we get older, like Becky said, we get chronic illnesses. Along with chronic illnesses come some limitations. Therapeutic recreation tries to remediate those and tries to intervene. So I love to do it in a fun way, and I get people to do things that they would never really want to do if they just did therapy. We can just do it in fun. And gerontology, that students get the most jobs when they graduate from us in gerontology and mental health areas. So having both of those in their backgrounds opens it up to the potential that these students can get hired. The other thing I wanted to mention is that Provision Living has, the company that owns Oak Point, has committed that they will hire certified therapeutic rec specialists after seeing what's gone on with Mary over there at Oak Point. They have committed that they are going to hire our certified therapeutic rec specialist kids in all of their centers that they're building.
Which is great to hear, because I'm asked by citizens, legislators, alumni, you know, how do you make sure that students are career ready, community ready, ready to kind of jump into the profession, be productive citizens? And what you've just outlined is partnering with businesses to understand their needs and delivering, correct?
It's vital. I mean, it's a symbiotic relationship that people forget about, but my job is to get students ready to get out and be productive citizens. In order for me to do my job well, I need administrators who are open to taking brand new students into their, you know, graduates into their businesses. And they need assistance. It's a symbiotic relationship. And so the more we partner, the better I can do my job, the better quality of employees they're going to get on the other end too when they get out.
Dr. Sue Milikengis, you provide such value to students, to the region, to seniors. What gives you the greatest sense of accomplishment?
Oh, When I get students who have graduated 2, 3, 4, 10 years ago sending me emails and Facebook posts and things that are saying it was because of what you said or something you did that I'm where I am today, it just gets me. That's why I come to work every day.
Well, it's pretty obvious that you are very much a gift, and you bring it every day at work, but certainly to our students, and it has so many residual positive effects. We stand you up as just a vibrant part of our region. We thank you very much, Dr. Sumala Kangas, for joining us here on All Things Northwest.
Thank you very much.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Becky Flaherty from the Area Agency on Aging, and Northwest Missouri State's Dr. Sumala Kangas, Associate Professor and Coordinator of the Recreation and Gerontology Programs. Thanks, too, to our producer, Brandon Travis, B-Trav, we call him. He's a student here at Northwest Missouri State University. And we also thank KXCV General Manager Rodney Harris. Friends, take good care, treat each other well, provide good works for others, and keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Chasinski, and thanks for your support of All Things Northwest, Northwest Missouri State University, KXCV KRNW, and Public Radio.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Family Eye Clinic. More information is available online at familyeyeclinic.net or at 660-582-5222. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest Professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by Vocal Music Education major Jordan Andrews, piano, Music major Daniel Bates, bass, Audio and Production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is produced by Broadcast Production major Brandon Travis. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.